Hey, what's up, all of you who are tuning in to check out our latest message right here online? Listen, it's going to be a great message, and we hope that you enjoy, but even more than that, we would love to see you in person at one of our live weekend worship experiences. If you're not in our area, we want to encourage you to find a local church where you live, because we just believe that we're no good alone, we're better together, and you need family. So if you're not in our area, make sure you find a place where you live, where you can attend a physical church and become family. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the message and have a good day. First Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says this: honor everyone. Everybody say honor. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Honor the emperor. Everybody say honor everyone. So I want to speak to you tonight from this thought: honor everyone. And I'm actually going to be doing a series, and we're kicking it off tonight with the title, Without Conditions. Everybody say without conditions. Without conditions. So you put it together and you say honor everyone without conditions. Because let's face it, we are a creature. We are a being that is, we are a conditioned-based society. Truly, yes? And this is what I mean. You've probably had the same conversation like I have, where someone wants to invite you to something or bring you in on a deal, and you'll say something along these lines: I'll agree to that on one condition. Anybody ever said that in your life? We are by nature a society that lives based on conditions. I'll give you another example. I'll marry you based on these conditions. Got a little laughter going on. I'll continue to love you under these conditions. Now I got silent laughs. Or if these conditions should ever change, we need to reevaluate the contract. Stop. Let me just say this. This is not a marriage seminar, but let me say this. Marriage is not a contract. And all the married people said, amen. It is much more than a signed marriage license. It's a covenant between you, that other person, and God. Let me take you all back. Those that are married, you're going to remember this. It's important that we remember on that day, and Haley and Kelby are getting ready to be at that day. Everybody say that day. At that day, the pastor or the priest or the homie or whatever you call him, he said something along the lines of, in the sight of God and all these witnesses. That meant God was... he was there, right? It's up to the couple to make sure he stays a priority through the rest of the duration of that marriage. And the church said, oh me. or you can go on and say, well, that you said, you, those that are married, you said things like, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health. Basically, what that did was that eliminated the condition. Hello. So whether you're rich or you're poor, I'm staying in this thing. Whether I'm sick or I'm completely healthy, I'm staying in this thing, and I'm going to stay in it with you no matter how bad it gets, or I'm going to have to take care of you. Come on, somebody. I said this wasn't going marriage, but I'm going to lean in just a little bit. Y'all lean with me. So basically what takes place, even though the two people standing down here are normally like, let's get through with this thing because I got things to do. Right? So you're going through this so fast, and these vows and all these things, but you need to understand what you're committing to and what you're saying, because later on in that marriage and in that journey, you're going to be faced with opportunities to look at conditions around you. The conditions aren't conducive for me to stay. The conditions aren't really what I expected. Let's just eliminate conditions. We're talking about honoring people without conditions. Maybe you get invited to an event, and what do we say? Who's going to be there? Anybody ever said that? Who's going to be at the party? Why? Because that condition will determine if I actually show up or not. Is it somebody that I want to get to know? Single people, I want to get to know? Or is it people you're going and saying, well, I don't like that person, so I'm not going to show up. That's a condition. We're talking about eliminating the condition option. Amen? Oh, this one. I love this one. It's Saturday night. Hey, Miss Pearl, am I going to see you at church? I know tonight's Saturday, tomorrow Sunday. Am I going to see you and your family at church? Well, Brother Bradley, you know. Yeah, that's what she, you know, Brother Bradley, you know. It's just been a rough week. It just depends on how I feel. What is that? A condition. Somebody say, you picking on sweet little Miss Pearl? I'm not picking on nobody. I just love her smiling face. She was looking at me, and so it was an easy target. But every one of us are faced with the opportunity to say, the conditions aren't right. I'm not going to church. Why is that? Why do we lean on conditions? I'm going to tell you why. This is the first point. Are you ready? It's going to sting just a little bit. Get ready to write it down. Are you ready? Because we are, by nature, selfish. Pastor B, that was rough. Oh, I know, because when I was sitting at my kitchen table the other day and the Holy Spirit said, when I was like, why, God? Because we're selfish. And I started going through some books and looking, is there another word I can put right here? Because I don't like that word, selfish. You know why I didn't like it? Because it was talking about me. We always will look out for number one, but we don't want to love somebody. We don't want to honor somebody if it's going to decrease love and honor in our own life. It's conditions. And conditions will block the flow of what God wants to do in your life, through your life, in your family, through your family, in a church, and through a church. Conditions will block the flow. So we got to eliminate. Just write that down. I keep hearing that in my spirit. Eliminate the condition option. Eliminate that. What is selfish? Well, we know it as being concerned mainly with one's personal profit or pleasure. As long as it profits me, as long as it brings pleasure to me, then I'm in on that thing, whatever that is. If you want an actual definition, it's prioritizing your own petty needs. Everybody say petty. Your own petty needs above the significant needs of others. Let me show you what that looks like. Brother Bradley, I don't want to go share an encouraging word with that person. Let's break that down. I don't want to go petty. Share an encouraging word significant to someone else. Did you track what I just said? I don't want to, but it would be significant to the growth and it would be significant to that person, but I don't want to. Remember what I just said? It stops the flow. I love this one, I don't feel like serving at church today. Baby, let me tell you, it's more than a feeling. Let's break that down. I don't feel like it. Petty. Serving in church, that would be significant to someone else. On the other side of this wall, somebody who's not having a good day, but they drug themselves to church, and your smiling face at the door that said, hey, I'm so glad that you came. I'm so glad to see you this morning. That just that small sentence could actually change the life of somybody else who came, who actually, y'all know what I'm talking about, dragged themselves to church. They looked at all the conditions and said, that's okay. Yes, I understand. I acknowledge they're there and they're happening, but I'm still going to go anyway. They made it. It's like how many people who were sick and they're on their last breath and they actually show up in a hospital. Just getting in the hospital isn't what actually fixes them. Somebody has to get down who has a little background or knowledge in a thing and actually has to put their hands on them and help that sick person. How many people actually show up at a church and get no attention? Nobody, because everybody's selfish and conceited and wants to look at what is going to profit me helping you. I don't have time to help you. We don't know the condition of their mind and what's happening. Eliminate the condition. I don't feel like it. Can I just be honest? There's times B don't feel like leading worship. Coming up here and speaking sometimes ain't easy. Yeah, but B, that's your job. You get paid to. Let me tell you something. I had a job. A good job. This is not a job. It's a calling. And tonight, God is calling each one of us. He's calling you tonight. What's he calling you? This is what been burning inside of me for the past couple months, and it's point number two. He is calling you and I to cultivate a culture of honor, to create and cultivate a culture of honor. Because let's just be frank tonight. Let's just be honest. Honor is not something you typically see being displayed every day in the workplace, at Walmart, Krispy Kreme, Starbucks, wherever you visit. Those are just mine. You're not seeing honor displayed like it used to be back in the day. So God is calling each one of us to cultivate a culture. We've got to bring it back because honoring people has been snuffed out. And if we're going to change this thing, you can turn. When I say change, I'm talking about the culture of the city, the environment that you work in. I just believe it's going to start with honor. I'm going to give you some more examples of that probably next week or in the weeks to come, however long this thing flows out. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, let me just go back. It says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Let's just break that down. Basically, what Peter was saying is, honor everyone, and he gives three examples of what that looks like. Number one is love the brotherhood. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, say, you my brother? And if it's a female, you say, you my brother Ed. I know, I'm just throwing words out there. Love the brotherhood. That's you and I. Love that's the kid. That's God's kids. Love the brotherhood. Love people. Just make the decision that it doesn't matter who you're around. You're going to love, honor everyone. Oh yeah, even at Thanksgiving when that loved one that you don't get along with, love and honor them. I'm telling you, you'll turn this thing, you'll turn that jacked up relationship around. Oh, you may not have, yeah, I called it what it is, jacked up relationship. I got them in my family just like you got them in yours. Don't sit there and look all holy. Loosen the halos tonight. I'm just telling you, if you will shed the light of honor on that situation, he'll turn it around. He'll turn it around. So love everyone. Amy kind of knew where I was going, and we were sitting on the couch a couple nights ago watching TV, and she flipped over and she showed me her phone, and it was a quote, and I said, yep, send that one to me. I'm going to use it, and so here it goes. Our frustration with people should never affect our honor towards them. Our frustration with people, loved ones, jacked up relationships. Our frustration with our boss, the people we work with, I don't like them, Pastor B, you don't understand, trust me, I do. My frustration with them should never affect the honor that I am required. The Bible says so. See, this is not a message about don't do, sin. There's a time for that, but what I'm of the belief system is this. If we can steer the church in the direction they're supposed to be going into, they're less likely to be going in a direction they're not to go into. Hello, somebody. Okay? That's not B trying to water down anything. That's B saying, I want our attention to be on what are we supposed to be doing. Because if all I learn about is what I'm not supposed to be doing, guess where my attention continues to go, and I'm less likely to go this way. So let's talk about things we're supposed to do. It's simple. Honor everyone. I can't wait to get into this series. I'm going to bring out the book. Amy don't know it. She read something to me the other night. Jensen Franklin's book, Love Like You Never Been Hurt. I went in the bedroom trying to find it so I didn't have to disturb you at school today. And I found it. And I was ready to use it tonight. And the Holy Spirit said, no, not yet. You know what? God ever give you something? Or he says, hey, you're going to get this. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to line it up so you can have this job. And you start running that way. But it's not time yet. And that's what he said. So I'm going to share that with you. But our frustration of people should never affect my honor towards them. So number one was love the brotherhood. Number two, fear God. Fear God. Now that's not I'm afraid of God, but I have a holy reverential fear of who he is. It's saying, God, you're awesome. I'm in awe of you, God. I'm in awe of your decisions. I'm in awe of who you are. My lifestyle, I actually said this in the middle of worship tonight. My lifestyle, may it always be pleasing in your sight. May my lifestyle show others that I fear you. You could say you love God, but if you're not actually doing what his word requires us to do, we don't like requirements, I know. Because when I said that word, some of y'all were like, eh. But it's significant that we understand and get this thing. It's putting God first. Now, this last one, so the first one was love the brotherhood, second one was fear God. This other one is confusing to me because we don't have these in our day. Love the emperor, okay? But at the time Peter wrote this, it was an incredible statement. Say incredible. This statement was huge, and this is why. I don't know if you've ever done any study on the emperor, the last known emperor. His name was Nero. Nero was a bad guy. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, say, it was just like, but ugly. Just make sure y'all still awake. Okay. Nero was a bad guy. This is what allegedly he did. Killed his mom, murdered his first wife, and bless her heart, murdered the second one too, as if she didn't get the message. This could be a bad decision. The conditions aren't looking too favorable for me. He's a bad guy. Matter of fact, he also went on to burn 3/4 of the city of Rome just so he could rebuild a palace bigger for himself. Remember what I said? We're selfish people. We will destroy other people and other people's opportunity just to make ourselves look good and feel good. Hello, church. We will. We don't want to tell the boss, hey, man, Sally's doing a great job. We don't want to tell how good somebody else we work with is doing. Why? Because the honor shifts from us to them. But if you'll begin honoring other people, it's how you want honor to show up in your life. Start honoring people. Start honoring people. Well, we all need some of that attaboy. I get it. But start giving some other boys and girls and some attaboys and attagirls. And plant a seed. You want to harvest? You got to plant a seed. I could just take that off into finances right there. But y'all follow me? It all works together. We want to harvest, but we ain't willing to drop a seed in the ground. Then we go out there every day. We'd make, hey, God, I put a seed. How come it ain't coming? Bro, it's only been 24 hours. God's timing is not our timing. And the church said, amen. Amen. So Peter is saying, no matter how bad, how ugly, how good they are. He said, honor them. Honor them. Honor him. Matter of fact, history will tell us, because Nero was pointing the finger at Christians for the cause of the fire that he started, that Peter was killed and blamed for that. The man that Peter said, honor him, actually took out his life. Now see, the world system will go, well, that don't make too much of sense. I'm just obey God. Just obey, honor everyone. It's that simple. Just honor everyone. It gets sketchy when it's people that we don't like, people who don't talk like us, look like us, go to the church. Let me tell you something. God showed me this week while I was detailing somebody's car. I'm not going to share it because it's on podcast, or will be. There's some ways that me coming up in this transitional, stepping into this lead pastor role, there's some ways that I need to honor the other pastors in this city. I'm going to do that. I'm going to blow their mind. When I call their secretary and ask, I almost stepped out. When I obey and do what God's asking me to do, they're going to be like, what? They're going to be like, what? For real? Huh? No strings attached. No conditions. Just want to honor. What are you willing to do? How are you willing to step outside your comfort zone? Let me tell you that. When he said that, I dropped my sponge on the ground. I literally looked up and said, are you serious? For real. Mm-hmm. Honor everyone. I'm not saying I got any bad beef with any of them. But what I am saying, I recognize the walls that are up in the city, and it's time that somebody plants a seed of honor so we can actually have honor across the board, because the lost people see the division in the churches, and it's time to flip the script. So honor everyone. And the only reason I put that out there, what God has showed me, is so you can see I'm actually taking what I'm dishing out. This ain't even me. I'm just dishing out what he threw on the plate. So honor the emperor. What's that translate today to us? It doesn't matter who it is, just honor them. Honor them. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter how far they've gone. It doesn't matter that their sin looks different than yours, because I'm sure you have them. We all have skeletons, sinful skeletons, in our closet. honor them. And right there is where I would insert that book, but I'm not going to tonight. I'm going to obey him. Listen, the resilience of those Christians back then, the reason they were able to continue to move forward in the face of adversity was because they created a culture of honor. They created a culture of honor. That what's it going to take for us to be resilient in the face of persecution, in the face of strife in the home and in the marriage? We've all got them. Don't act like you don't. I understand it happens. How are you going to bounce back when you have a culture of honor in your home? And I'm going to give you that challenge here in just a moment. It was Pastor Greg Groeschel, some of you know him, follow him, who said these words: honor is a gift that you give freely. We want to hold on to honor and say, but do you deserve it? I'll let you have some if you turn a trick, flip a trick, do something for me, and then I'll show public honor for you. That's not how that works. Say, honor everyone. So we must ask ourselves, what does honor look like biblically? Here it goes. I'm gonna move quickly. If you look at honor in the Greek and flip it around to translate back to English, this is what it means. It means to add value, to prize, or to see the value in someone, or to give weight to something. That means you have weight that you're applying to that, and now you're building up. It's called honor. It's pretty basic. Here's some tangible ways this works out in our everyday flow. Just holding the door for someone, going into the restaurant, going into Cracker Barrel. It's natural to hold the door for an elderly person who's struggling to get in the door. That's natural. But how about somebody who's just a young buck, man? He's there with his, you know, he's there with his boo, his bae, whatever. He walks. Why not stop? And your family goes on. Hold the door for them. There is something that happens when you honor someone else. Don't do the natural, I need to do this because, bless his heart, it don't look like you're going to be here much longer. Let me just help you through. No. Do it for somebody who actually could care less. Because it's that careless attitude that has us in the condition we are today that is most natural to dishonor people, because dishonor, it takes no effort. It takes no effort to dishonor. It takes all kinds of effort to actually deny myself how I'm feeling. I'm starving. I'm ready to get into Cracker Barrel. Well, my family worked all day. I'm ready to get in here. And you want me to hold the door for this young buck who should be holding the door for me? That's our mentality. Don't act like it's not. Flip that script. Show that young buck what it really means to honor somebody. And a light will go off inside, because it's not natural. A light will go off inside them to go, that was cool. Do that. Here's another one. Returning the shopping cart after a grocery experience. Now, this specifically applies to Walmart in Chiefland, who has over 500 parking lot spaces and 4 return buggy spots. I didn't go count them. I'm just telling you. You're going to have to work through this. I'm telling you. We shop at Publix in Gainesville. That's our weekly trip. That's our date night. We go out to eat, and then we go get groceries. That's got to work it however you can. Amy will go off on me if I load the car and throw the buggy up on the wood chips on the curb. You know what I'm talking about? She's like, no, Bradley, I'll take it back, and you pick me up. Somewhere there's honor in there. I really believe there's honor in there somewhere. Say, honor everyone. Oh, let me just make it more personal. When your wife knows that when you go to a store by yourself, you have an agenda to get in and get out. And all the men said, amen. And she finds out you're going to the store. There's a reason she had to find out, is because I don't shout it out that I'm going, because I will get a list of things that she needs. And typically, it's a complicated order. My shopping experiences only take usually what I can get in 2 arms. So the other day, not the other day, it was yesterday, after I completed putting my notes together, I slipped up and said, I will go to Winn-Dixie and get corn or whatever I was getting. And she said, hey, do you mind picking up a few items for me for work? And the Holy Spirit said, I kid you not. So, are you going to work this thing out, this honor thing? You know, you're talking about it being inconvenient. Are you just going to share that with the church? Are you actually going to do it? Because it was inconvenient. Because my one hand shopping experience turned into two hands on a buggy. Yeah. Honor everyone, even when it's inconvenient. Even when it's inconvenient. What about showing up on time when you said you would? Honor people's time by honoring people's time. Honor people's time by honoring your word. That's actually how I wrote it down. Oh, last one. Following road signs. I'll let you pray about that one. Yep, all them. I wasn't gonna whatever you got struggles with, that's it. Yeah. Blinker experience. Okay, but what I've learned about honor is this. Honor causes everything around it to grow. Honor allows everything around it to grow. It's adding value. It's seeing value. Point number three, honor causes things to grow. Honor causes things to grow. Did I give him number two already? Did I give him? I did, because it was creating the culture. Three, honor causes things to grow. You want your marriage to grow? Start honoring your spouse. Stop keeping a tabulation of how much honoring you're doing and how little they doing. Just honor, because that was a condition. I'll continue to do this if that's a condition. That will destroy your marriage. And it'll eat it away. It's one of those sneak up diseases. Dishonor is a sneak up disease. You won't even see it coming. Honor is a fertilizer. When you honor, you're providing healthy soil for the God-given seed inside someone else to grow. Point number four, dishonor is the disease. I think I kind of said it that way, but dishonor is a disease. It tears things up. It's very destructive. Number five. Honor is a breath of fresh air. Honor is a breath of fresh air. You want to know if you're bringing honor? When you walk into a room, check out how many people hit the door or try to escape and find another route to get through wherever you are. That means you've created a culture of dishonor or drama. I want to be the guy that when he walks in the room, people go, "Oh, man, I'm so glad he's here." Because I'm bringing honor. I'm bringing fresh. Now, this is not something that B has mastered. I'm saying this is an area that I am changing and putting attention on intentionally. Honor people. Honor people. We're going to create that honor in this house. We're going to create that culture in this house of honor. And then it's going to go out into the streets. I'm going to stop the rest of the notes. We'll pick them up exactly where we left off next week. But I really believe that in order for honor to work in here, we need to take home and, as Dad would say, do some homework. Here's a challenge this week until next Wednesday. Not just until, but you got to go all the way. Everybody say go all the way. Because with Jesus, it's all in. You all in, baby, or you all out? There's no, matter of fact, I believe it's don't be lukewarm. You got to be all the way. So my challenge for you is to begin cultivating a culture of honor in your home. Ansley, Grace, and I had a daddy-daughter conversation last night. It was a difficult conversation for her and for me. And today, I began to see change. Now, emphasis not on the conversation, emphasis on Daddy went straight into her room and laid directly on top of her, just like she does to me. And I said, "Baby, see how that feels? You see?" And I was trying to get, you know, like she does. "You see how that feels?" I got her laughing and giggling. So we had daddy-daughter makeup time. Everything was good. So today, I started witnessing some things around the house happening that I didn't even ask for her to do. And I had the opportunity to recognize it and walk out because I was busy. I had to come preach. Or I could take the 2 minutes and say, Grace, thank you for wiping down the counters. See, I recognize that. That's honoring somebody. Recognizing someone's strength. Recognizing someone was proactive and did something without being asked. I plant a seed of honor, hoping I'll get a return that I'll see that more frequently. Smile, laugh, giggle, something I was just trying to... But it's true. It's true. So my challenge for you, 60 seconds. My challenge for you, take the next 7 days, begin creating and cultivating a culture of honor in your home and begin to see how that works. Spouse to spouse, or parents to kids, and if there's kids in here tonight, kids to parents. I know my daughter's in here, and I know she better be listening. Just kidding. Watch what God will do. I'm just telling you, watch what He'll do. Watch what He'll do. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.